Great to have all of you here today. I know a lot of people are sick, and this cold weather, I don't know who to blame for that, but I came a long time ago, so it's not me from New York, but somebody else. It's really cold. Let's pray together as we begin a brand new letter, a brand new series on the book of Philippians. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you so much that we can come before the throne of grace with our brothers and sisters in the Lord together as a family called by you, and to be able to just bless you, glorify you, praise you, and to read your word and to learn from you. We pray that you speak to our hearts as we begin this wonderful letter and that the Apostle Paul, through your Holy Spirit, wrote to the churches. In your name we pray. If you followed the news the last few weeks, you would think that the whole idea of having to find joy would be unnecessary. Because after all, you saw all the partying that we did last week. On Times Square, you know, a million people gather, jumping up and down, excited about the new year coming, and the ball falling down at the stroke of midnight, I guess. New Year's Eve and then into the new year. My son is a police officer. He's a sergeant in that area. And he said there are restaurants, and he knew one of them, that they charge $500 just for you to be able to stand in on their property right before it happened, because it's really hard to get there, you know. So you pay $500 ahead of time, and you go there, and you get a few hours, you know, just to stand there waiting for the ball to drop. And of course, all the parties that many of us have known about, or some of you even were part of. So you would think that joy is just a part of our society. If somebody is an alien looking at, you know, the United States and all the partying seen everywhere, in fact, all around the world, joy is not something that is missing. If we thought that, though, we would be wrong. And by the way, January is the most depressing month, you know. I don't know if you guys have felt it. Some of you are sick, right, gotten sick. Of course, your credit card bills are coming, and you know, all the partying scene's gone, all the reveille is over with. I did some checkup about things, and yeah, actually, joy is something very lacking in our society. In fact, you know what's been increasing, and that's the lack of joy, or the lack of happiness, in fact. We are told that over the last couple decades, suicide rates have spiked phenomenally. That's really sad. We are told that, when I was researching this, I was a little discouraged, actually. I was a little saddened by it. But teenagers, you already know that it's the second highest rate of death, suicide that is, amongst teenagers, second only to accidents. In fact, between the age of 12 to 19, the suicide rate is really, really high. In fact, one out of every six students in that range contemplate committing suicide over the course of a year. So those of you that are parents, you want to understand some of the things that's going on. In fact, one out of 13 actually attempted over the last year. And in fact, every single day, 5,400 teenagers are attempting suicide. Today, 54 of them, 5,400 will have tried to do so. Say, well, you know, that's adolescent. They're finding themselves, puberty's kicking in, and on and on and on. But you know what? When you go up a little bit more, between the age of 45 to 63, I think it is, that's the highest rate of suicide. More, almost 20 per 100,000 will do it. You say, why? These older folks, you know, people my age. And actually, one of the highest rates is above 85, senior citizens. See, hope is something that is very limited in our society, and joy is something that is not a part of it. And because of that, our society is facing this stuff, and meanwhile, we're doing everything in the world to try to help our people, our society, to find joy. and we're looking in the wrong place. So I want to begin with this letter of joy. It is the epistle of joy. It's understood to be, and you say, what is that? Why is that such a joyful letter? It was written by the Apostle Paul. Let me give you a little bit background about this before, so you can understand it as we delve into it for a number of weeks from now. We're going to be studying through the book of Philippians, and I would hope that you go home and read it. It's very short. It's only four chapters. It's shorter than Galatians. And so you can read it every day, and it wouldn't take much of your time. Hopefully you will enjoy it and discover it, and God will minister to you. The Apostle Paul, during his second journey, missionary journey, entered a place called Philippi. It's a city on the Aegean Sea area, is amongst the Greek folks. It's in Macedonia. Some of you remember Paul was going through some place and he was ministering, and then he had a dream. He was prevented from going somewhere, and he had a dream of a man from Macedonia saying, please come and minister to us, right? You remember that? So he did. He and his fellow traveler Silas and others went and boarded a boat and went there and landed, and it entered the city of Philippi. And if you remember Philippi, the first person that gave her life to the Lord was Lydia. She was the first convert in that whole Greek area. And after that, they began to minister. And you might remember that they were walking around ministering, sharing the gospel, and suddenly a demon-possessed girl was following her. Kept saying they're the servants of the Most High, you know. And she was a person that was able to tell the future, so they thought. And her slave owners were using her in order to make money. And so you remember, perhaps, and that Paul got so annoyed with her, turned around and cast the demons out of her. After that, she was not able to predict the future anymore. And so the owners got really mad, you know, made some charges against them, trumped up charges. They were taken to prison, him and Silas. They flogged them, and then they were thrown into jail. You remember the story? And there they began to sing in the jail. You know, they were singing after they'd been flogged. They were sitting there and everyone's listening. And suddenly all the chains fell off. Boom, 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 right? The doors open. And the jailer thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. My prisoners got away. And so he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And then the jailer took him home. The whole family gave their lives to Jesus Christ, right? And on and on. And after that, a church was formed. A church in the city of Philippi. They were called the Philippian Christians. And this church was a little different than some of the others. They were really, really receptive of Paul and him. They just loved him to death. And everywhere he went, they would send funds to help his ministry. So after the second missionary journey, he would go to the third missionary journey, and they would send funds every once in a while to help him. But now, in this situation, he was now in his first situation of prison long term. Now, he was always thrown in prison here and there, but he was not there very long. This is the longest term. He was, in fact, in a prison in Rome, not the dungeon-type prison. He was kept in house arrest. He had to rent a place where he couldn't go anywhere. There were guards watching him, but he can welcome people there. He was there for 2 years, and there Paul was. You know, maybe not the worst prisoner, but nevertheless a prisoner. And think about Paul at this moment. He has his freedom taken away from him. He couldn't go anywhere. Just imagine Paul, this type A personality, this person that wanted to meet people and love people and wanted to do things. He couldn't do that anymore. He couldn't go around preaching. He was a great preacher. We know that. He couldn't preach. He had to stay in his home where he was in prison. He not only that, he heard all kinds of rumors about him, not just from the non-Christians, the Jewish people, but also from some of the Christians that he had helped lead to the Lord, some of the churches that he founded in Macedonia, perhaps in Galatia and so forth. And he was hearing all kinds of bad things. This is something that happens amongst Christians. I think maybe the enemy's just real good at it, sowing seed, you know, love to talk about the leaders of the church. We have that even today. I hear that about myself. A couple of times I was in Chinatown, and we're sitting around with a bunch of pastors, and one of them said, Pastor Dan, do you know what they're saying about you in Chinatown? I said, what? Why would they say anything about me in Chinatown? You know, it's not even church. I said, well, I want to tell you. And of course, it's not true, but nevertheless, it's there. This happens all the time. It's been the last 2,000 years. I hope you're not part of it. But certainly there are people that do that all the time, and they go to churches. And so the Apostle Paul was facing a lot of that. There he is in prison. He couldn't even do anything about it. And people kept on slandering him, saying, you know, God put him in prison because he deserved it. You know, he's doing things he shouldn't do, and on and on and on. And so here is Paul in the midst of all that, and you would think that he would be depressed. You would think that he would say, this is really a rough life. You know, a joyous life nobody would ever say he was having. But nevertheless, when we read this letter, we will find some other attitude. So first of all, I want to go to a place where we can understand what joy is. Understanding joy. Sometimes we equate joy, in fact, often we equate joy with happiness. I want you to know they're not the same. Not even close. Happiness, the root word for happiness is hap, H-A-P. And it means chance. And so you have words like happenstance, you know, haphazard, all these words, that's what it is. Happiness comes from chance. Another word, I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I don't really want to say this too much. Some people here might be mad at me. I won my fantasy football league. All three of them that I joined. I was very happy. Some say, yes, that's right, it is by chance. You were just lucky, Pastor Dan. Yes, probably was. Has happiness. Now, since I won, 11 others didn't win. They were sad, I think. At least they hadn't talked to me yet, you know, except a couple of nice guys. So that is happiness. That's how happiness comes. And so you got to raise, you're happy. You know, you got tickets to the Texan game yesterday and you went there, we're all happy. You see, that's happiness. Happiness is based upon circumstances. But it's not joy. You see, it's not joy. So we live our lives thinking happiness is what we want. We equate it to joy. We say we want to have a joyful life. So we want everything out there. And even theologically, sometimes our churches are like that. Which is why when I speak about some of the prosperity teaching churches, say, listen, their focus on happiness, they're focused on chances, they focus on circumstances that are out there that allow you, they allow you to be joyful. No, they allow you to be happy because joy doesn't come from those things. See, joy comes from the Almighty God. The word chara, you remember when we studied Galatians, when we went to the fruit of the Spirit, the second part of the fruit of the Spirit was joy, chara. It is from the Spirit of God. It comes from God. And when we read through the Bible, we'll find that joy has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. In fact, in this particular epistle, this particular letter that Paul writes, he writes about joy 16 times. And in the New Testament, about 74 times joy, rejoice is told to God's people to do. Now, how can you be joyful? How can you rejoice? In fact, one of the biggest examples of being joyful and rejoicing is Jesus when in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it said that the joy, looking forward to the joy before him, he endured the cross. In other words, he was going to face some of the worst circumstances of life. And yet because of that, he had the joy in him. Because joy has nothing to do with circumstance. It is from God. So we need to understand what joy is. Because if it's from circumstances, then we have to change our circumstances. We have to make our circumstances. So when somebody says, you know, you got to be positive about yourself. You got to be a champion in your life. You got to be this and that, optimistic personality. It is talking about changing your circumstances. Therefore, you have the joy of God in. No, it doesn't happen that way. Joy has nothing to do with your circumstance. Joy has everything to do with God. It is God. Chara comes from God. It is from him alone. And in fact, if you do not know God, you cannot have joy. You can have something that is only given to God's people. And in the book of Galatians, as we were studying it through there, we understand that joy is something that comes by working in the Spirit. It is motivated, initiated, enabled, empowered by the living God through the Holy Spirit. That can only happen. So we need to understand what joy is. In other words, if you are facing some of the worst circumstances today, it does not mean that you cannot have joy. Far be it from that. In fact, you should have that, and you should stand firm in it. Your demeanor and who you are has nothing to do with what's happening outside. So if you're a joyful person, it doesn't mean you have to be happy with everything that's happening around you at all. No. The Apostle Paul, how can you be happy being in a prison for any reason whatsoever? To have all the things you want to do eliminated from you, curtailed to you, how can you be happy? You can't be happy, but you can be joyful. And therein lies the big, huge difference. Understand what joy is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Jeremiah said. It is ours. It is our strength. The joy of God in us, given to us. And if you're a born-again believer, you can have that. You should have that. You do have that. You just have to exercise it. So understand what it is. Second thing that we see in this passage, and I want to delve into it because I want to go word by word here, expressing joy. There's a lot of ways to express joy, but there are three things here that the Apostle Paul writes that I think is really, really important. He greets these folks, these Christians in Philippi, and then he says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. This is the one of the first things that he says. He says a bunch of them. There's three of them that we will focus on today. But he says, I have joy when I remember you. It's important that we express our joy in our memory, our reflection of people that we know. I want to tell you, sometimes our memories don't go there. You know what we want to do in our memory? We want to remember the bad things. Now, understand, our memory is filtered, and it's filtered by things that touch our spirit, that touch our emotions. I know that. You know, I can remember all the way back. I have hardly any memories whatsoever of my childhood in Hong Kong, but I do remember a few times. Most of them not really good ones, a couple of good ones. And it's things that, you know, really affected me emotionally. I don't know if I ever told you. I think I did. One time, I was walking around, and we were looking at a house we were building, actually. It was a tiny house. It looked gigantic to me. And they had a hole. They dug a hole. They were going to put the post in there. They didn't put it in yet. I don't know. I guess I must be 4 years old or so. Just walking all by myself. And for some reason, I sat in the hole. So my arms are up. My legs are straight up. I'm stuck. I was stuck in that hole. You know how traumatic that is for a four-year-old? I mean, I was scared stiff. I was yelling and yelling, and nobody heard me. So I remember that incident. Eventually, my brother came and found me and said, what a stupid kid, what are you doing there? Right? See, these are emotional, traumatic things that you remember. You know, something. You remember those things. But sometimes you remember some real good things, too. Somebody doing something for you. One of my memories in those days was really going to VBS. I wasn't a believer at all. I remember going to VBS the first time I was in church ever. And for some reason, I remember it as a really pleasant experience. So I want to encourage you, those of you that want to bring your children to VBS or work in it, it makes a difference. But nevertheless, when we remember the past, we like to remember the negative things. We don't remember the people that hurt us, you know? Listen, if you live long enough like I have, there are people that will hurt you. Sometimes they don't even know they're hurting you. Sometimes they do know they're hurting you. Some people plan to hurt you. Some people accidentally hurt you, you know? There are people that are there. You remember those things. And I want to tell you, if you remember those people a lot, you're not going to have a whole lot of joy. You're just not. Every time those memories come up, you know, they come up and you're like, oh, you know, you just cry even. I have some of those. But you know what? You can make a point of not remembering them. You can ask the living God to say, you know what? I want to remember the good things, the good people, the good situation. Even when someone is difficult, I want to remember what they have done for me. The kinds of stuff that they're blessed me with. We can make those choices. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. I thank God every time I remember you. Now, the Philippians were very good to Paul, but I'm sure they were not all very good to Paul. And if you want to read about it, you can read all his letters. You go through the book of Acts, you will find so many people were so mean to Paul. Anytime you're a leader, anytime you make choices, anytime you decide things, let me assure you, there's a bunch of people that's going to love on you. There's a bunch of people that's going to hate on you. That's what happens. And I'm sure there were people in the city of Philippi that said, we hate Paul. In fact, there was one person, not in Philippi, another place, his name was Alexander, who told all his deacons, all his elders, when Paul comes, you're not allowed to meet him. He hated him so much. Said, if you did, I'm going to excommunicate you. Can you imagine that? Here's the Apostle Paul. But you know what? Paul said, I thank God every time I remember. I want to remember you in the good ways. I want to remember all the good things that you've done in my life. I want to remember all the good things I've seen in your life. That's one of the great ways, if you're a born-again believer, to keep your life joyful when you remember good things about people. Verse 4 says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. That's the second thing that you can express your joy. When Paul prays for these people, he prays with joy. Now, there's a lot of things to talk about here because you know Barbara and I, we are believers of prayer, especially Barbara. All kinds of ways you can make a difference. You can impact the world with prayer. But you know what we do usually when we pray? We don't pray with joy. We pray with complaints. We're always asking God, would you do this in my life? Would you do this for my family? Would you do this for me? Would you give me a better job? Would you change my circumstance? We do that all the time. All our prayers revolve around me. That's what we do. That's how we pray. Maybe that's why we don't pray as much. You know, you keep asking for things, they're not happening. I don't want to do that anymore. But the Apostle Paul is praying for people. And when he prays for people, he prays with joy. Excited about what God is going to do in the lives of these people. Excited about the transformation that he's seen again and again in people's lives that he has prayed for. And you want to be praying for people? I want to tell you, if you are a person that prays for people, you're going to have joy. You know, I sign my birthday cards to you if you receive them, praying for you. And I pray for every one of you as I sign them. I know it's a lot of them. So it's not going to be long prayers. Lord, please bless Audrey today. Would you take care of Bob? Praying for people. These are simple ways. I use it other ways. You can do that. Do you pray for people? When you do, I guarantee you, you will pray with joy. You know, unless you just focus on one person. God, would you take him out of my life? Would you get rid of him? No, you don't have to do that. But even your enemies, you can pray for them with joy. Excited about what God is going to do in his life. Excited about what God is going to change in her life. That's what Paul did. He said, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. You know, when you're praying with joy, you probably don't want to stop praying. And that's one of the keys about praying long. You say, how can I pray for 10 minutes? How can I pray for 20 minutes? How can I pray for an hour, God? You pray for an hour because you're praying for people, and there's joy that wells up in your spirit and your being. That's how. The third, in verse 5, it says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I love this one, okay? You see, the word partnership here, in case you don't know it, in the Greek word, is the word koinonia. You know that. You heard that before. It means fellowship. These people were part of the work that God was doing with Paul. I want to tell you, it is exciting to be working with people, exciting to be gathering committee meetings and say, let's plan this out, let's do something. Many of you are involved with that. And when you do that, there's joy that comes into your life. You know, I know committee meetings not for everybody, and I'm not crazy about committee meetings personally. But when you're planning in ministry, when you're partnering together and say, how can we minister to Houston in the Luna Festival, you know? How can we make a difference in our community when we have the spring thing festival coming up? How can we make a difference when we have this concert, Christmas concert? How can we sing? You do all those things, it brings a wellspring of joy into your being. That's what we do. That's what Paul is talking about. So here it is, you know, I remember you guys, and that just brings me so much joy. That just fills my being with joy. You know, I pray for you guys in joy. And what God is going to do, he said, and I partner with you guys. And I would hopefully partner with you again in fellowship. There are other ways, and we'll talk about it as we go through the book of Philippians. But expressing joy. And sometimes I think, you know, people go to church, and maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, these mega churches are happening, and it's working fine. But you know what? People are finding emptiness in it. Because we go to church, we look at the guy's head in front of us, you know. We don't know the guy to the left, to the right, whatever it is you enter. And as everything's happening, your kids are cared for, no problem. You got a parking space, you know. There's going to be some nice, delicious meal somewhere. But somehow there's an emptiness inside because there's no partnership there. There's no koinonia there. There's no fellowship there. There's no really getting into nitty-gritty part of what life is about with God. Finally, finding joy. Going back to the title. If you are lacking joy today, I want to tell you just a few things you want to do. First of all, you need to be a believer. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I can stand here and speak to I'm blue. Doesn't matter. You won't find it. It's not for you. You can't have it. You can't have joy if you don't know Jesus Christ because it's wrapped around the person of Jesus. That's what it's about. So you have to give your life to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You will never regret it. It will be the greatest decision of your life in eternity. But you know what it's going to do, specifically taught today? It's going to fill your life with something different. You don't need the circumstances out there. You don't need your family to be perfect. You don't need your job to be okay. You don't need to be out of troubles or anything like that. You're going to have joy inside. The chara, the word that comes of the living God. It's going to fill who you are. You're going to be able to look at things, and you're not going to have to suffer through all the depressed thoughts and ideas about life and the struggles of things. You will go through them. Each and every one of them, knowing that the living God is in you. That's what you need to do. But the second thing we focus so much on in Galatians, you need to walk by the Spirit. You and I, you know, I'm not here to teach you a methodology of how to live life better. No, I can't do that. I can try, but no, it doesn't help. But when you and I allow the Spirit of God to fill us and to take us and to walk by His power and His guidance, I want to tell you, life is different. I know sometimes it's supernatural. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Sometimes it's just there and you say, wow, that's a God thing. You know, sometimes we say those things. Sometimes it's not. It doesn't even have to be. It is just life. It is how God gives us life. You know, we wake up in the morning, we know what we need to do. When the Spirit of God leads us a certain way, when the Spirit of God said, don't do this, stop, hold on, you know, these are things that can happen in our life. You say, wait a minute, I don't have that stuff. You don't have it because you haven't experienced it by walking in the Spirit. It's a real thing. And when you do, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord will be there for you. And you can rejoice. One other thought before we end. Because you need to know the Lord to find joy. You need to walk by the Spirit. But the third thing, it encompasses a whole lot and won't do it today. There's a lot of ways that we allow Satan to take our joy. You know? To steal our joy. I think Mandisa has one of those songs, you know, I'm not going to let him steal my joy. Something like that. You know, Satan does it all the time. He's at you. He's your enemy. He's my enemy. He's God's enemy. He's going to come at you and steal your joy. He's going to put things into your life, into your path that's going to bring you to a place where that joy just flies away. Beware of those things. Beware of those things. And one of the biggest is just simply taking you away from praying. You see it here. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I pray with joy. You know what? When you don't pray, when you don't come before God, because you see, joy is part of that relationship with Jesus Christ. When we don't come before the Lord, that joy and anything else, the love, the peace, all those things can fly away. Because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not relating to Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you. If there is a step-by-step, if you already know the Lord and you know you need to walk by the Spirit, another thing you need to do, make sure you do that, is you need to pray and spend that time with God. Why do you think it's the hardest thing to do in your life? Why do you think praying is the hardest thing to do? It is because it is exactly what the enemy doesn't want you to do. It is where you come before the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you relate to him. You discover who he is. You are blessed by him. You are empowered by him. And you do great and awesome things because of him. That's why the enemy will never let you do it. And when you're praying, something's going to happen. The baby's going to be crying. Your boss is going to be calling. Something's going to happen. And they're not happenstance. They're on purpose. So I want to encourage you, don't let the enemy take and steal your joy. As we go through the book of Philippians, I hope you end up like I have, just excited about life, joyful in the Lord. No matter what the circumstance, you can find joy. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you've given to us something that the world can never give and never take away. Your joy. Oh, Lord God, I pray for each person here. Would you allow each person here to discover the joy of the Lord? Allow us to have your strength, Lord God. Allow us to be able to bear anything, endure anything as you did, no matter how difficult, because your joy is set before us. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Thank you.